Jayma. So, someone during this recent activism, which dharna, okay, protest and all this happened, raised a question. The question was, what are the people in Sri Aurobindo Ashram and Sri Ramakrishna Mission, all of them are doing? They should be here. First of all, it's so silly. Just because you are interested in a problem, they should be interested in a problem. So, but let's understand. Should a spiritual man take part or he shouldn't take part? And if yes or no, why? So first of all, we must understand, spiritually, a person who is oriented towards spiritual life is like a scientist. I'm giving an example, who is busy in a lab discovering the cure of a fatal illness. What is that fatal illness? It's mankind. Imagine you tell a scientist who is doing a research, discovering the cure for cancer, why don't you come and give dharna? He'll say, are you stupid? And he'll be right. Are you stupid that you want the whole world to come and stand by your side? Okay, you are inspired, do it. No issues about it. But if you believe that spirituality is only about standing, spirituality goes beyond justice. In fact, if you look at spirituality, it's always the law of karma, as they say, is about the justice. I'm not discussing the law of karma. It's not just about justice, but let's say that it's about justice. Then what is spirituality? It is to go beyond justice. It's bringing grace which can annul justice. That's what people say. If you take to the path, ultimately the divine consciousness can annul karma, at least modify it, mitigate it, or help you to go through it in a very milder way. So the spiritual man is engaged in something much deeper, much higher. And it's not just his selfish mukti, as people say. Even if we leave that aside, people with Sri Ramakrishna Mission, okay, end point may be mukti. But imagine a person who is ascending a layer of consciousness. Surely they must be, I don't know, but I'm sure anywhere people are trying some things, things happen. Now the moment one of them ascends a little, conquers, let's say, an anger, basic issues are always there. You can't go to God with all this. Some anger, some selfishness, some greed. What happens then? You are helping the whole mankind to take that little step forward. Because we are all interconnected. Let the spiritual person be busy with that, because that's much more important. When Sri Aurobindo was asked about duty toward the divine and others, because we sometimes say, why Buddha went away? This is also a question people ask. Why Sri Aurobindo went away? And Sri Aurobindo gave a very interesting reply. He said, that's very simple. When they get married, they are ignorant, and when they awaken, so people ask, why would he go away? And you have to understand, even a military man, I understand this from a very different background. You want a military man to be in the house and defend his family after all the training he has received? It'll be silly outrightly. You want a doctor to only learn, practice medicine only for his relatives? He has to sometimes go in the face of epidemics, run the risk of himself dying in the process. That's the job description. So a spiritual man has to understand he has a much greater responsibility of awakening, ascending consciousness. If you start drawing him here, there, everywhere, where consciousness is externalized, I'm not even discussing what that protest, we all know. I have a very direct experience which I'll talk about. So basically, then everybody must rush to protest. Prime Minister should be standing there, forgetting all about the country, and all the doctors, engineers should be standing there. Why then only spiritual man? The doctors should not be working in the hospital. They should be joining the protest and let the sick people die. The military people should be joining the protest. Why not? Let China and Pakistan invade. See, it is such a silly argument. And people claim to be intelligent who are participating in protest. This is the level of intelligence. But that apart. Now we come to the protest. I have a very direct experience to share. So during, and that too in a very good, young person, 15, I was in Sine Cambridge, that time it was 11th standard. Usual, galat to learn. So there was J.P. Narayan Japrika, he's a genuine person, and mother has spoken about. He is really a genuine man. So he started an anti-corruption movement, which is very nice. It was all over Bihar it started. So झंडा लेके हम भी आई ऑल्सो सो व्हाट वी यूज्ड टू डू इज पार्टिसिपेट इन भूख हड़ताल गो टू जेल बोथ दीज एक्टिविटीज आई पार्टिसिपेटेड इन एंड इवन इन द स्कूल एक्टिविज्म एंड वन स्टेप फर्दर वी वेंट वी वेर अबाउट 9-10 ऑफ अस who would stop the trucks because rich people truck. Huh? So they are carrying all the goods like sugar I remember specifically, wheat. So we'd stop them, we'd play the Robin Hood. You feel very proud doing that. That 15-year-old, take out all the berries, store it, we'll distribute it to the poor people. You feel so happy you're doing something very great. And would be inspired by novels like Lal Rekha. I mean, it's a communist novel. Later on, you understand. Now, what I discovered, I can share it very openly. One was jail, when everybody started going. Ultimately, 100 people signed up. 9 people ended up in the jail. I was one of them because only 9 were the ones who stood. So all this that they are experiencing now, I have seen all this. Because people were not interested. Bhook Hartal. So I decided genuinely, and my sister, and I said, no, kuch pile juice. I said, no. People were calling me backstage to have rasgulla. I am not joking. Now, rasgulla I love. It was my ultimate test. I said, if it is rasgulla, maybe I shouldn't care. But then idealism took on. No. I told them, keep my rasgulla. After 12 hours, I will eat all the rasgullas. Now, this is the seriousness. But everybody was eating, drinking, everything. This is a first-hand experience. I am not talking as a reporter. Okay, then what happened? What about the boris which were taken out? It was kept by one of the so-called comrades. And I discovered that they were all going to his relatives. Not one word of exaggeration. I said, kya hai? What is this nonsense? Then I realized I am being used as a pawn. And as if Mother's Grace, somebody known to the family from Patna, he came. He was a big, big shot in the police. He said his name has figured out there. He'll be arrested, put under this, that there was Misa, or, you know, all that. And his career will all be spoiled. And then when I came to know, he gave me a very clear picture of what is happening. As a 15-year-old, I had experienced it. And then he gave the full picture that what the whole thing ultimately turns out to be. I said, oh, okay. So then, of course, school people, they had taken out all others who were part of the protest. But me, because of my very good studies, they gave me concession out of hostel. But we'll allow him to complete. That was great fun because 5 different houses I stayed. It was interesting learning experience. Later on, I didn't know this my destiny to travel and stay in different houses. So when I look back, that's why I say sometimes what appears as an adversity is a great blessing. So that 1 year as a, 15-year-old, I am staying in, because somehow it would happen. Somebody's house, they were Jains, they would sleep at, 6 o'clock lights off. Now what do? I have to study. No, my exams are there, standard 11. But I took it as a good excuse. I was not fond of studies, but I used to do well, very well. So I said, good excuse. So then parents got the wind of it. It was a lovely time because I would think. I loved to think. So I would think, conceive lovely stories coming in my mind, all this to come. I couldn't even write because there are no lights. So life passed like that. Then after 2 months, my parents said, no, elsewhere. Now elsewhere, there is one room in which husband, wife and I am staying. Very nice people. They got transferred. So third place. So like that, 5 places. That time I didn't understand. As a youngster, you enjoy everything. I mean, it's like, it's okay. But now I understood much later that all this prepared me because I have to stay at different people's places. So mother had prepared me right then for these travels and for the stays in different houses. So people often say, what are your preferences? I said, preferences, if I say, well, like everybody, I like certain things and not very fond of certain things. But mother has prepared me for anything and everything. different foods because they were preparing food. So how every so-called adversity is a blessing in disguise. So all these young people, and besides, see, young people, how would they best contribute? You want to build a nation, yes, bring out your best. And this is an example I also give that, well, imagine a doctor. I am a doctor. So imagine that at that age, I got into protest, took to politics. Now, was that a greater help? Maybe at some point, so-called, if you become a, you know, prime minister, and even that, hands are tied. Or when I took to this work and started doing, I had my own principles, I'll not charge anybody any money. So it worked, so which is better? So the Gita says something very beautiful. So I'm saying this, that swadharmo nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayava. That was for me an alien dharma. I was carried away by people and young age, vulnerable. My swadharma was not that. Of course, one of my dreams was to fight in Devasura Sangram from the Devas, but it was not protest, has nothing to do with Devas or Asuras. It is purely an ambition and political motive where all these things are involved. So, to make big hullabaloo, Gen Z, that the other topic which is connected with it. So always, now I'm not entering into Gen Z, we'll talk about it, what Mother has spoken about this. So what happens is that every truth, before it expresses in the earth, gets totally distorted by the Asuric forces. Classic example is Hitler's use of swastik. Because he used the swastik as a symbol, of course, distorted swastik, because he used the word Aryan, everybody thought he is a very, you know, hamare jaisa hai. But be careful. So yes, change is going to be there, and the children who are born after 67 are special. 60, sorry, I must include 60. Very personal reasons are special because 56 is the supramental manifestation. What has the Western world done with it? It has put labels, Gen Z's, millennials, alpha. You have lost the whole thing. Now, in every generation, you will see that there are these two types. Between Duryodhana and Yudhishthir, who was Gen Z of that age? Both were similar in their youthfulness. Always when evolution takes place, there are two lines along which the evolution happens. And Shobindu speaks about this in an essay on Superman. What are the two lines? One is Daivi and the other is Asuric. The first sign, first thing it expresses it as Asuric. That's exactly what we see in the world war. It is the Asura. He says, oh yes, yes. Shobindu has said no about millennials or these. Let me use this word to corrupt the minds. So it has brought, we are millennials, we are free to do anything, whatever we want to do, because we are millennials. No, you are not free to do anything, even in ashram, in the sadhana. People had this idea. Millennials is far greater responsibility, far greater discernment. You should be, yes, free from family. But what does it mean? I'll do whatever I feel like? No, it means be like Nachiketa. So what is that Nachiketa got? Nachiketa is an original millennial. How is a millennial? When he sees his father during yagya doing something which he should not be doing. He is offering the old useless bullocks and cows to the gods. He says, Dad, you are wrong. That is called free from family. Millennium is Prahlad. He tells his dad, I respect you, but aren't you going a little too much saying I am God? Millennial is Satyakam Jabali. Who teacher asks, 5-year-old, who is your dad? He goes back, asks his mother, I have never seen my dad. By the way, who is my dad? He says, I don't know. I was a maid servant in many houses. That's it. Imagine what a bold story. Satyakam goes away and says, I know my mom's name, I don't know my dad, I don't know. Because he worked in many houses. What does the guru say? a woman who has the capacity to speak truth so beautifully, his child cannot but be of the highest order. This is our civilization. Let Americans and others follow this millennial path. Be our own civilizational greatness. And if a nation loses that, then it is to its peril. What happened in Japan? People speak about all this loneliness now. Why? Because it lost the cult of samurai. It has completely become another annex of the Western world. And if you do that, you are paving the path to self-destruction. And that's exactly what we as Indians should be worried about. Yes, we should have our own reforms. We should have the courage to tell our parents that, well, Dad, this is not right. We all have done it. I have spoken once, 7-year-old, sitting with my mom. I'm not sharing that other story. Some people know in the train. But this is a story. I wanted my mom to come, something, I don't forget. And there was a neighboring lady and, you know, they were chattering. And this lady would always say very foul mouth about, things about her daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law is always bad, so she would say. And I used to get very annoyed. That day when my mother didn't listen to me, because she was busy, I said, what is all this? Why are you listening to this stupid lady who has no other work except talking about her daughter-in-law? And this lady suddenly says, kya bol raha hai? What is he saying? My mother says, kuch nahi, chup ja, abhi main aati hu. I am coming, because she realized that this is an explosion. Yes, by all means, question. You have a right to question. But when you question, be sure you are on what ground you are on. We are a civilization which questions God. Whole of Gita, which is such a profound scripture. Nobody has to teach us whom to question and what to question. Arjun is questioning Krishna. He's not saying, because thou hast said so, therefore I must obey. He doesn't say at all. Nor Krishna expects him. The greatest scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, the beauty is that Arjun doesn't accept anything just because Sri Krishna says so. He asks questions, but there is a mind that is ready for questioning. It questions because it wants to know. Dad, why are you doing this? This is not what I expect from you. I've heard children saying, why are you asking me to tell a lie? That Papa is not at home? Somebody was sharing. I said, this is being truly in the right spirit a millennial. Not somebody who just wants to create a hangama, gets up. This is the Titanic type. So always in evolution, these two lines start. Shobindo's essay on Superman. And he describes, because Titan and gods both are above man. Tremendous power both of them wield. But one is living for the ego and selfishness. And the other is living for great ideals, great ideas. This is the difference. And when you live for great ideas and great ideals, by all means question, by all means raise issues, have the courage, the strength to go through it, be honest. But such people are always very, very rare. Majority are crowd followers. Crowd followers are never like the gods. Never of a, you know, live. So, and we, as I said, we have our own way. India is a land where reform is inbuilt in our civilization in the form of Dashavatar. I often give this example. Parshuram also has a name of Rama associated with him. And then comes Rama. Both are gods. Do you see the difference? Parshuram destroys the earth of Kshatriyas, arrogant Kshatriyas, 21 times. What does Rama do? Before killing even this fellow who is known to be Ravan, he is still trying, okay, let's give him a chance. Okay, let's try. You just return Janki. I don't want to destroy your kingdom. So we, in the avatars itself, there is an evolutionary progression. We need to learn from the West or the Middle East how we should be. And we should be very proud of belonging to a whole civilization and culture which has upheld great values, even of womanhood. Again, feminism. We have our feminism. One of my books, Eternal Feminine, is about that. What character? Kayadhu. People have not heard. Anybody has heard about Kayadhu? Of course, some of you must have heard. Who is Kayadhu? Any idea? She is the mother of, okay, she is the wife of Hiranyakashipu, the demon king. But she is the mother of Prahlad. What does she do which marks her out as a special woman? Obviously, her husband is what he is. Terrible man. He is out on revenge against Vishnu and all that story anyway. He wants domination of the whole earth. This woman knows that this fellow is. And then once he goes for tapasya, that I am going to do tapasya for getting more power so I can finish Vishnu. And then he's told, look, that's asking too much, but I can give you this kind of immunity. Finally, get the immunity that he will not die of anything which he could conceive. He said, that I can grant you. He said, okay, once I get this boon, I'll fight Vishnu. No astra shastra, nothing. But in his own house, divine's plan, millennial, as I was saying, Prahlad is born. Prahlad doesn't accept or agree to anything that his father says. And he's punished. This is called the spirit of the millennium. What he doesn't do to torment his own son, and the son stands firm on his ground. But the story is that what happened to his mother, which nobody speaks about, when his father has gone for tapasya, Prahlad is in the womb. And now Narad Muni plays a wonderful role. Wonderful person. And people have how they have destroyed. He is a catalyst between the divine plan and human. But he is painted as chugli and all. God knows. All stupid propaganda. So what does he advise his wife? Says, how do I spend my days? He says, you come and stay in our company. Because he is very inclined towards spiritual things. He says, I don't get a chance. Come and stay in the ashram. So she goes to the ashram. Hears a lovely story. That's all. Nothing else. And the baby in the womb is growing. And the baby becomes so luminous, such a bhakta. Wonderful story of Prahlad. We don't know. And he revolts against his father's excesses. Another example. This is Indian way of millennial and revolt. Another very interesting story. Plenty of them I have. And that is of, heard the name of Ashtavakra? He is bent over on 8 sides. So when Ashtavakra is in the womb, he is a very special being. And as the story goes, in the womb we receive things. Now modern science accepts that impressions do come when the baby is in the womb. But that's a different story. So when father is reciting some verses, this boy in the womb, chit of a boy, feels this is not correct. So what does he do? He can't speak, no? Though story is put dramatically, he kicks. Every time he says something, he kicks quite badly from inside and mother says, stop, something is wrong. So father feels that, he is disrespecting me. I am saying verses of the Vedas and he doesn't know. But he could make out even then that these are verses very wrongly spoken. So he curses. You are trying to show off that I am wrong. You will be born deformed. He's an angry man. Boy is born deformed. Deformed at 8 places. Ashtavakra. And what a revolutionary being he is. He goes into the... See how bold... What is courage? So he goes into a sabha of Janak. So this millennial protest of so-called Gen Z, it's like Prime Minister ne bulaya hai. So how does he behave there? He is taken to the sabha of King Janak. All of them, King Janak has called a lot of people who has to prove who knows the Vedas better or the knows the... And as soon as Ashtavakra goes, they start laughing. Why? Because he's bent at 8 places. So Ashtavakra also starts laughing. Now they don't know why he's laughing. They think he didn't get the joke. He got the joke. So they asked, why are you laughing? He said, you are laughing at my body bent over. Ah, yes, yes. He says, I am laughing to see that King Janak has called an assembly of cobblers. He said, what do you mean? We are all versed in the Vedas. He said, this is what your knowledge has brought you to this state where you are only seeing the skin and the body. You are not even worth discussing about openly. Gargi, in a sabha, questions Yajnavalkya, famous, which again, once a feminist, and this will be the last story, when a feminist once told me, what is there? Look at Gargi. And I'll talk a little about Sita in few words. Look at Gargi. You know, why did Yagvalk tell her that Gargi, if you ask more questions, your head will split into 1,000 pieces? I said, don't be such a fool that you are. See, what is the story? Yagvalk has been declared the winner, but Gargi says, I must question him. And King Janak says, okay. So she asks, what lights up when the fires are gone? He says, moon, when the moon is gone, the stars, when the stars sink, the sun, when the sun is not, the self. And what when the self is not? When she asks, this was a poser. You know, how he would tackle. Because you can't speak about it. It's beyond your yes and no. That's the meaning. This was a tricky question. And Yagval gets it. He says, Gargi, if you ask this question once more, your head will burst into 1,000 pieces. This is a description the mother actually speaks of. When you enter into that sahasrar, you cannot speak about it. It goes beyond speech. So he says, you are trying to reduce into speech what is beyond speech. And Gargi says, yes, you are the winner. She doesn't say, how dare you talk to me like that. So this is the state that people don't understand. Again, one last word about Sita. What is Indian feminism? Oh, Sita ke saath ye hua, wo hua, this, that. Imagine if Sita was shown as either a typical docile woman. By no standard she is docile, as people paint her to be. Or a woman who is revolting. Oh, Rama, you did this. See, I am going to do. Imagine Sita going to court and doing dharna and giving talks. My husband, he did this to me. What did she do when she is abandoned? I am not even going into the other side of the story. She goes, there are many aspects of Sita which I have written. She is a very strong, the original feminine strength. She is born of earth, goes back to earth. So what does she do? She goes to the ashram. Actually, she goes to the jungle. She left there at the jungle. Doesn't go out to the jungle. And she is not looking for a place of rescue. She goes into meditation. She is taken up by the Rishi Kumars. They are taken to the ashram. Brings up children. Now look at this woman. Goddess, literally. She doesn't utter a dark word about Rama. She knows who Rama is. She knows that how Raj Dharma, how he values, this is his value. Raj Dharma is above all things. Not a word. Her children have grown up idolizing Rama. Look at this. So in the end, when they go to court and tell the story of Rama as they have heard from Sita, very beautiful. I don't know whether people nowadays have heard or not, but I have heard. We used to have Ram Lila and hear those, you know, Am Katha Sunate Hain Prabhu Ram Ki. You wonder, this is Sita's understanding of Rama. And then after she has done, when they are able to do that, what does she say? She doesn't that dramatically, I am going to go inside, you people have cheated me, nothing. She simply says, my work is over. Rama asks her to join him. It's not shown as entering the Raj Sabha and dramatic. It's not there in Valmiki Ramayana. He calls her. You come back. She says, no, my work is over. These two children, now they have reached that point of maturity. They can take care. My work, whatever I had to show about the feminine aspect is over. I'll wait for you because she is Lakshmiji. And then she enters into the earth from where she had come. Why does she enter into the earth? Why do we think it is something bad? She entered the earth that I am not leaving anywhere. I am with the earth, merged with the earth. So earth becomes endowed with the feminine power of the ultimate feminine. Your book on Sita. It's going to come, no? Still. It's come already. So this is how we have to understand. We have our own feminism. We should have. We are our own millenniums. We should have. But it should be in the light of the Indian ethos. There is a continuity of civilization. Otherwise we lose so much. And go the same way. Look what is happening all over the world. What is happening in Middle East? What is happening in America? What is happening in China? Do we want to really go that way? But India is still strong because we are connected to the roots. They give us strength. And they are beautiful things. There are things that need to change. The story of, as I said, Dashavatar is about change. Bring the change. But the change must come from within outwards. The change must come through an evolutionary process, not a destructive process. So this is the background and the logic of it all. Okay. Jai Ma.